not our happiness to have all of you here tonight. Thank you very much for being here. This is a special kind of meeting in that it differs from the regular gospel meeting that I would preach, in that I have been spending my time talking about things that happened in the 50s and 60s that I was a part of, and how the division was brought in among churches of Christ because of various innovations that were introduced and forced upon us. Now, I pointed all that out in other services, and then last night you remember that I spoke on institutionalism, or that is, church contribution to human institutions, and I dealt with that last night. Tomorrow night I'll be talking about the sponsoring church arrangement, and that was one of the culprits that helped to divide the church. And then the final lesson on Friday night, which by the way needs to be heard by all of us, and that is how we can avoid liberalism in the future. And so I hope and trust that you'll do your best to be present for the remaining services. Tonight I'm going to talk to you for a while about social gospel. Now, the things that primarily divided the church back during that period of time were, number one, the sponsoring church arrangement. Number two, church contribution to human institution. And then there was the matter of unlimited benevolence, where people insisted upon using the funds of the church to take care of those who were not saints. And there was a third thing that was just barely coming on the scene, and that's the one I'm going to talk about tonight, the social gospel. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When all this was taking place and I was debating it and fighting the battle back in the 50s and 60s, I want to be absolutely honest with you, the social gospel was not that prominent at the time. And if you had come to W.R. and you had said, W.R., do you think our brethren who were being influenced by liberal tendencies at the time, do you think they will ever go for this social gospel thing? And frankly, I would have said no. I thought we had better sense than that. I wouldn't have thought that we would have done that. But lo and behold, the social gospel began to stick its head up among us. And I want you to know, a lot of churches of Christ just absolutely went hog wild after it. And really, in many respects, it has now taken churches of the Lord who are on left wing, way out in left field, it has taken them further from the truth than perhaps anything else. And it really surprised me. It really has. Well, we are not particularly bothered with this. I don't think so, at least. We don't have a kitchen or a fellowship hall. We don't have a school or playground. We don't have a swimming pool or a pool hall or any of those things. We are not involved in that, but that doesn't mean that we might not succumb to it in times to come. So I think it meet that I talk to you a while about social gospel. To be honest with you, I think, and this is not some sort of a sarcastic reflection on you, but I think that there are a great many people in the church who don't even really know what I'm talking about when I talk about social gospel. They really don't quite understand what we're talking about. I'm going to try to help you understand tonight. So stay with me for a little while, if you will, please. I think you'll find that we have a very interesting study. Now, the expression social gospel is used with reference to the kind of preaching that emphasizes the material and social needs of the people to such an extent that it diminishes the emphasis upon the spiritual and eternal needs. People become totally wrapped up nearly in this material aspect of the social needs as it has to do with people. Now, as I use the word society, it is not used in the sense of what we would call high society, the hoi polloi, in other words, but just to describe society in general. Now, what does the social gospel aim to do? Well, here it is. The social gospel, and those who preach it and those who propagate it and practice it, it seeks to answer the cry of the masses, to supply the earthly demands of the majority. It strongly appeals to those church members who are destitute of true spirituality but pride themselves for their practical and down-to-earth attitudes. that's where it makes its pitch. Now somebody might be saying about this time, well now, Brother W.R., you're up here tonight evidently condemning the social gospel, and you're trying to point out that brethren are wrong for going for that. But I want you to answer this question for me, W.R. Wasn't there any scripture that the liberal-minded brethren used? Was there not any scripture that they used to try to prove the social gospel thing? Oh, yes. Absolutely so, and that's what we're going to look at for a little while now. The social gospel is the result of the whole man concept. Now, I don't know how well acquainted you are with this idea of the whole man concept, but I'm going to get you acquainted with it in just a minute. The whole man concept would charge the church with the whole development of man. Now, when I get through explaining to you their view in this matter, you're going to immediately see why gymnasiums and fellowship halls and kitchens and schools and church property and all kind of entertainment and what have you looks perfectly all right in their sight. It's because of the way they view it. Well, what scripture would they use? The sugar plum scripture, so to speak, that they always used, and they're still using it today as far as that's concerned, when they are contested in regard to any of this, is in the gospel according to Luke, Luke 2 and verse 52. It is a statement that's made about our Lord and Savior. Now the whole man concept would charge the church with the whole development of a human being. And Luke 2:52 is their sugar plum passage, which they pervert and misuse, but they use it to deceive the people and make the people feel like that is perfectly all right. What do you mean, W.R.? Well, all right, here it is. This is the way they look at it. This is that simple little passage that talks about Jesus increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man in Luke 2:52. Perfectly good passage. But they go to that passage of Scripture and they begin to get stuff out of it that you can't believe. First of all, they make that passage become a charge and responsibility of the church out of its treasury and out of its efforts. Well, that's not right to begin with. This is nothing more than a simple little statement that's made about the growth and development of Jesus Christ when he was just quite young. But here, I want you to notice what they say about it. They look over here and they read where Jesus increased in wisdom. Now, they say that is mental growth. And then they read, secondly, that he increased in stature. And they say that's physical growth. And they look at the third thing, and that is that he grew and increased in favor with God. And they say that's spiritual growth. And then it says also that he increased in favor with man. And they see that as social growth. Now they reach over here and pick up this passage of Scripture in Luke 2:42, as I said, that is nothing more than a simple statement about our Lord Jesus Christ and his development as a very young person. And they pick up on that and they make this a part of the mission of the church. Now folks, when once you see how they view this and where they're looking, in other words, you're getting behind their eyes now, looking at it as they look at it. Now, all of a sudden, you don't see any trouble, you don't see any problem at all with having a school that we may mentally develop our children. And so if the church wants to use its facilities here for us to have an academic school or to build on additional buildings for it, it would be perfectly all right. Now, the second thing, and stature, physical growth. Now, if you look at it from their viewpoint, there's certainly no problem on the face of this earth in regard to getting gymnastic equipment or a gym or a swimming pool or whatever, playground, whatever might help in the physical development of the people, and that takes care of it. of course, in favor with God, they would say that would have to do with Bible classes and the teaching of the Word, and they would be right about that. And then finally, and man, and increased in favor with man, they see that as social growth, and they therefore view the parlors and fellowship halls and all the places where boys and girls and men and women may get together and have a good time and have a lovely earthly fellowship, that is, table fellowship and recreational fellowship with one another. And so they view that as totally justified. So folks, when you go and you realize that they take this passage of Scripture and they put this slant on it, then you don't have any trouble. I don't, at least, have any trouble seeing why they have no compunction of conscience whatsoever in doing the things that they are doing today in the far out liberal ballpark, so to speak. And so that's where they view it. That's how they use that passage of Scripture. They believe that's what it teaches. Now, it is true that the whole man needs to develop. They're in doubt about that. I wouldn't argue with anybody about it. I want every boy and girl to develop as they're growing up. But they ought to develop socially in the home and the community. They ought to develop physically in recreational activities at school and otherwise. And they ought to develop economically, so to speak, in business enterprise, and so on down the line. But remember this, it is not the purpose of the Church of Christ. All of these needs that fall within their view of the social gospel, these things are not the purpose of the Church of Christ in the first place. The Church of Christ is a spiritual institution that's been put on this earth primarily for the purpose of seeking and saving the lost and edifying the converted and converting people and then edifying them and preparing them to go to heaven when they die. But these things that I'm talking about here, and I'm exposing here and condemning here, I want to tell you, my friends, they are not the mission of the church. It's not the purpose of the church to be involved in these things in the first place. So, if some brethren were to say, well, we got this extra lot out here, W.R., by your house, and we have to go over here to Willis and rent that hall and pay a little money, why don't we just, we could all pitch in and get one of these metal buildings and put us up a kitchen and a fellowship hall, and we wouldn't have to be driving out there to Willis and being involved in all of that or any other place we might rent or what have you. And we wouldn't have to be having things in the home like Brother Pulliam and others and us sometimes have in our home. Wouldn't be necessary to do that at all. We'd have that fellowship hall. And that would just make a whole lot of good sense. Well, it's true, we got the land there, plenty of land to put it on. But I tell you, you try it and you will hear from me. I don't think you'd not only hear from me, I think you'd hear from a lot of other people here. It would not be tolerated because that's not what the Church of Christ is all about. All right, that gives you a little idea of what I'm getting into here, and it gives you a little idea of how they see it as they see it and why they think these things are all right. Now I want to ask the question of where did this old man concept come from? Where in the world did it come from in the first place? You know, everything has to come from somewhere. Where in the world did it come from? It started, my friends, in secular education, and it went into sectarian teacher training material, and then it got into the Church of Christ because our people fell for this material, and they ordered all these books that the denominational people had put out on teacher training and all that sort of thing. And so they got hooked on some of these ideas, and they made their way into the affairs of the church. The bookshelves of so-called experts, not among sound churches of Christ, but I mean basically churches of Christ, the bookshelves of so-called experts among us was filled with teacher training material from the Christian church and the Baptist church and the Methodist church and the Presbyterian church and the Moody Bible Institute. Now, I'm not telling you that some of these people and some of these books that I've mentioned here might not have some worthwhile things in them. That is true, and they do, and I have some in my study. And I imagine probably Brother Pulliam does. Most preachers do. But what I'm trying to tell you is that you cannot allow yourself to fall for ideas that's advanced in books that may have some good things in them, but these things are otherwise advanced, and you can't afford to let that infiltrate your life and the affairs of the Church of Christ. The denominations go for the idea of the whole man concept, and so they seek to educate the child mentally and morally and physically and socially. And so our brethren took up these practices. They look round about and they said, look what they're doing. Look over here at their activities. Look what they're doing. And so the next thing you know, we've got a secular school being carried on in the facilities that have been paid for and arranged and provided for worshiping God and teaching His Word. And so you've got all of that going on, and then you've got gymnasiums and all kind of places of entertainment and food, fun, and frolic. And so if you don't look out when you begin to read other people's materials, you better pay attention to what you're reading. And you better pay attention and don't go around and fall for something that is in conflict with the Word of God and the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, where did this begin and how did it get? Well, I told you sort of how it got started, and I can tell you sort of how it crept in among us. But some of the prominent leaders in this whole business of the social gospel was the Catholic Church. And they've been doing it for a long time, and they have advocated it a long time. Permit me, if you will, please, to give you just a little information of something that was in the Chronicle the other day. Has a picture here of a cathedral out in Los Angeles, and I want to tell you it is something else. There isn't any doubt about that. It is one more cathedral. Let me read just a little bit because I want you to get the idea of their concept. You will see what I'm talking about, and you'll get the point. At the end, this is from Los Angeles, at the end of the dedication mass Monday, inaugurating the 190 million Roman Catholic dollar, $190 million Roman Catholic Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels, Cardinal Roger Mahony urged his guests to take shelter from the sweltering heat to an unlikely place. Now it begins. The best place, he said, after your visit, is the air-conditioned gift shop. Mahoney said to nervous laughter, it takes all kind of cards and it has an ATM in the front. Visitors to Los Angeles' newest landmark can sip Starbucks coffee in the cafeteria. They can buy a bottle of Our Lady of the Angels Chardonnay for $24.99. Or they can secure a final resting place in the below ground crypt for as much as $3 million, a practice unique to the Los Angeles Cathedral. And so it continues telling about things like that. In addition to that, the devout also are advised to bring enough money for parking in the cathedral's underground lot, which can set visitors back as much as $12 apiece. Well, that goes on and on. I'll not go any further with it, but you see the concept I'm talking about. This is no bother to them, never has been. And so that's been taken up and it's passed on down, and we have picked it up from various people and we have gone for it, not the Christians that are here tonight, but our brethren in a lot of places have gone for it, and a lot of them have just literally, as we used to say in the country, gone hog wild. I just never saw anything in it like it in my life. Most of those brethren that are out in left field, so far they're not even in the park, a lot of these brethren, my friends, do not really know what the mission of the Lord's church really is. They don't really know that we're supposed to be involved seeking to save the lost, and that all of those things are totally without divine authority. Back in 1948, I read something out of one of the books that had been published by some of our brethren that were a little far out back at that period of time, but in that teacher training material, I read the following statement, and it's not real bold, but I want you to watch what it's getting at, and this gives you a little idea fitting in with my sermon about this coming up little by little in the last of the 40s and the 50s. Well, here's a typical quotation from the teacher material. It simply says, quote, "The church should provide for a recreational year-round program. Too many people still think that the church has no business dealing with such things, that it is the job of others. Just as long as this attitude exists, our present unfortunate condition will remain. Places of amusement will be provided, and they will be patronized by our young people." So the idea involved in the whole thing is that we get busy and we provide, and we provide, and we fix for it, and so the children won't be running off, in other words, to somewhere else. I had lots of discussions with various people involved in this sort of thing, but I gave you a quote the other night from Dr. Norval Young. Brother Young preached at Broadway back in those days, and he advocated that fellowship halls were just as important, maintaining good social fellowship among the brethren, as it was to preach the gospel to them in the first place. Now, what effect has this kind of stuff had upon the church? What kind of effect has it had upon us? Well, it's turned many churches into the material rather than the spiritual. Now, what do we mean by the material? Well, let me just read you just a little bit here, if you don't mind. It means the church is thinking more about material things than they are spiritual. Now, the materialism is voiced in the many church bulletins that I've gotten through the years, and I read about things like this: church kitchens, fellowship halls, church parlors for showers, and so on, and recreation rooms, all church dinners in the basement or in the fellowship hall, fun for all meetings, young people's forum, youth rally, youth encampment, church baseball team, church basketball team, youth hobby shop, ping pong table in the annex, social room, pink and blue showers, refreshment, coffee and donuts, potluck dinners, student centers, tacky parties, Christmas parties, banquets, 42 parties, and such like. Now, all of this, though a lot of it may be innocent within itself, it's designed to satisfy the material desires of man without regard for what satisfies God. You can add to this the fact that there are many congregations this day and time that are operating farms and oil wells, motels, dairy farms, and secular schools for profit with which to carry on what they call the Lord's work. We are made to wonder just how much more materialistic some of the churches can get. Now, I'm just trying to get you to see. I'm not trying to ridicule. I'm just trying to get you to see. When I preached over Decca Prairie, about 3 miles from us, 3.5 miles, was the Tomball, the sign says, Tomball Church of Christ. And the contemporary of that over here would be Fraser Street. They are in the same stripe of the same type. And there, I had a couple of their bulletins that somebody brought to me. And I just start clipping out things in this bulletin. If you don't mind, let me just give you a little bit here, because I want you to see the tenor, what's going on. Now, this bulletin wouldn't have had a spiritual article in it at all. I would look for that. It might have a few poems and sweet things like that, but no really spiritual articles. But now, just listen to things like this. Now, this is what they're involved in. This is a big thing. Church is all up to their neck in it. Paper drive. Don't forget our paper recycling bin. It's located on the west side of the building, tucked into the L beside the Joy School. Proceeds will go to the Joy School. Newspapers, magazines, shopping catalogs, advertising inserts, and office paper. Well, you know, maybe to some people that doesn't look like that's WR. They're just recycling some paper and so on. But you have to understand that you start this sort of thing, folks, and you get into this sort of thing, then it leads to something else. Here's another one. Do you love children? Well, enroll them in the Joy School. Now, they have a secular school there in their facilities, just like we have down the road here. The Joy School needs loving, experienced teachers for the next session. We'd like for you to apply. And then in the church bulletin, here is Back to School Blues Party, Saturday, August the 11th, for kids entering K through 5th, wear something blue. Thursday at Tomball, ladies Bible class, new class begins. Beverly Hopkins will lead the class in a discussion of Charles R. Swindoll's book, Intimacy with the Almighty. And I imagine Charles Swindoll has some good things to say, but this man is the furthest thing in the world from a true Christian. And yet that is the book that's going to be studied. If you'd like to order a copy of the book, $5, please, call the church office. Child care during class be provided if you let us know you need it. Women of all ages are invited. Here's another one. Sunshiners. S-O-N shiners. Sunshiners. Be aware of the Lake Jackson Opry, Friday, August 24, $10, and your meal at Luby's. The county bus will leave the building at 4 o'clock. Another one, Astros versus the Cubs baseball games tomorrow. Tickets $12 each. Anyone who wants to go is invited. We'll leave the building at 5:30 p.m. Drivers needed. And then you've got today, after the morning assembly, everyone is invited to stay and share a meal with family and friends. You have another one. Wednesday night cooking teams are now being organized. Meals will begin September the 5th. If you're interested in being on a cooking team, so on and so on, well, you report to this person. And then the men are invited to get involved too. Let me read you something else of interest here. Northwest Community Church and Tomball Church of Christ. Now, the Northwest Community Church, see, friends, this is a million miles away from the truth. And the Tomball Church of Christ are sponsoring the third annual Children's Fun Fest and Youth Fest. This event is fun for children from 1 to 100. Enjoy games, prizes. It goes on telling all about it and where this will take place over in Matthews Park. Here's another one. The Buckshot Lane Church of Christ, that's down in Magnolia. It says Buckshot Lane in Magnolia will be hosting an exciting Friends Day on Sunday, October 21st. The invited guest speaker will be Mr. Gerald Treese, Dean of the South Texas School of Law, who's well known for his role as a legal consultant on Saturday morning program on Channel 11. Now it continues also, in attendance will be units of the Magnolia Police and Fire Departments with a fire truck, kids, the Precinct 5 Constable's Office, the Texas Forestry Service, and guess who they're going to bring? They're going to bring Smokey the Bear and many other special guests from more info called so-and-so. Well, this gives you a little idea now what I'm telling about. You got this supposed to be soul-saving institution for which Jesus died and shed his blood, and you've got it involved in these kind of programs. Bulletin would be literally filled with this kind of stuff, and there'd be scarcely any mention at all of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sin is not rebuked, truth is not set forth, just this kind of stuff. Now I'm going to give you the last one, and we'll let it go at that. Listen carefully to this one now. The heading in the advertisement was the Counterfeit Christian Conference. This was back last year at August 26, 28. It is running concurrently at several area churches. See the flyer on the bulletin board at the back of the auditorium for more information. Now, this is supposed to be a Church of Christ. August the 26th at 6 to 7, the Jehovah's Witness will have it, and the dating game. And then on August the 27th time, Mormonism, the Mormons will have it, the law of eternal progression. And then the last one, August the 28th, New Age movement, space age heresies. And then there's one other at the bottom. Note this, the Salem Lutheran Church. Now the Salem Lutheran Church is far removed from what's taught in the New Testament. They may be honest and sincere people. There, I've met some of them. But doctrinally and in their practices, they are far removed from what's taught in the New Testament. The Salem Lutheran Church will offer a special series for children under 12 called the Real Jesus Seminar. This series will run concurrently with the presentation for adults, but will be held in another area of the church. Now, what you have involved, even if what the Lutherans are doing here may have had some good things involved in it, the Lutheran Church is opposite so many things for which we stand and what we teach and believe to be the truth. We have no fellowship with that. We have no communion with that. And yet, here it is being advertised as this. In other words, we're inviting everybody to go over and be a part of these things. Well, I mentioned some of these things, not that I necessarily delight in that, but what I want you to understand and what I'm trying to get you to see is that when you began to let the gap down, when you began to become liberal in your thinking, it will not only produce corruption in the organization of the church and treasure of the church and things like that, it will produce corruption in the morals of the church and in the practices. And so you can't fool around with it. Lead you away from being what the Lord wants you to be. You say, well, is this something, W.R., that's just absolutely brand new? No. Like I told you the other night in the sermon, liberalism is not a new thing. Liberalism is an attitude, of course. It's not a new thing. And I gave you some examples of that. But I want to go back and read something from times past having to do with faithful gospel preacher in churches of Christ. Well, over 100 years ago, of course, considerably over 100 years ago, the church at that time was faced with this same problem. A little different wording, but I want you to watch it. It's interesting how this old brother writes. In July of 1867, Brother Moses E. Lard made the following statement in regard to the social gospel, which was becoming evident in the church of that day. We know now that his predictions were accurate. And here's what he wrote about. He said, but there is another suspicious circumstance attending fairs. Now, it doesn't mean anything to us tonight. But what they were doing in the social gospel and beginning to do, they call fairs. And so that's what he's talking about. And so he says he's suspicious of this. Who generally says, get them up? The more godly members of the church are the light and the giddy and the slack. With rare exceptions, the latter are the uniform aiders and abettors of fairs. The lovers of fun and the jolly merry rout, and these are the fair mongers of the church. The members who pray and who study God's holy word and who shun temptation, the meek and the poor in spirit, the pious in heart, these seldom take part in fairs. He's talking about these church social things. 1867. From fairs and those who countenance them, the church, in my candid judgment, he said, has nothing to hope but much to fear, and from the rank our apostates will go out. And when the time comes to bring in the organ and make creeds here, shall we find the hands to do the work. And boy, was he ever right about that. With fairs and picnics And go the fiddlers and the dancers, and already there, these are working mischief in our midst. The signs of a falling away are not obscure. I mourn over these symptoms with sincere grief. If they were an end, they would not trouble me much. But alas, they are the beginning, and in this lies my fear. Well, the old gentleman was sure right about it. While he's calling things back in, a little different maybe from now, but the principle is the same, and they were doing many of the same things. Now I want to leave you with one other thought, and the lesson is yours. Back in the Old Testament, we read about this. Perhaps you studied it at some time. But I'm telling you that when the children of God turn to the God of this world, like Israel of old, they will do what they did back then. And it is said they did eat and drink and rose up to play. And one place said they did even commit adultery. So I'm telling you, my friends, that when our hearts get fastened upon the material things of this life, and we want to take the church and make it a material thing to satisfy the social demands of the people and to rake in all the boys and girls because of the attractive things that we have to offer, look out, we're getting in a lot of trouble. Let me tell you something, friends. My job as a preacher of the gospel and Brother Bob's job, we're the same. I want to tell you right now, our job is to prepare people for eternity. Now, we may have enjoyable times together on a private basis, provided by some individuals, and that's good, and I'm not criticizing that, but it must never become a part of the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ. Ours is a spiritual mission, to edify the saved and to seek and to save the lost, and we have no business ever having the church in any respect engaged in this sort of thing. Social enterprise belongs to the home and community. Let's keep it where it ought to be. I often think of that statement in 1 Corinthians 11 about a corruption of the Lord's Supper, you'll remember, and you recall that he uses the expression, "In there have you not houses in which to eat." That's really a rebuke to this fouling up the affairs of the church. Just let the church be the church, the soul-saving institution, the spiritual institution that it's supposed to be. And the boys and girls that come in among us, we will teach them as well as any other. And we'll try to prepare people to go to heaven. But we will not stoop to the matter of trying to meet the demands of the masses and take care from the cradle to the grave of all the social needs of all the people round about us. Peculiar? Yeah. Oddballs in the eyes of many people? Yes. It's not what generally people look at or what they think about in regard to it. But we are the Lord's church. We're the Lord's people. And we have the Lord's mission. And it's a spiritual enterprise. And we have no place for such things as I've been talking about tonight. You say, "Well, Brother Jones, I don't see how this church, for instance, I don't see how this church could I say I could ever go off into that kind of stuff." Did you know that these churches that I'm telling you about, yea, many years ago, were just like we are? They haven't always been like that. They haven't always been involved in things like that. But those things began to be introduced because of the liberal thinking that prevailed. And you see what it's brought about today. Well, thank you for listening. I hope you'll mull it over in your mind, that you'll consider it sincerely, and you'll realize I must fight, you young people especially, that are members of the church and those of you who hopefully will be in the near future. I'm urging you, stand up and be counted. Don't ever allow the church that you're a part of, a local congregation, to slip into any kind of this nonsense that I'm telling you about. That's not the truth. Church of Christ. So hang on. If you're here tonight, maybe you realize, hey, look, we really try to stand for what's right. And I want to be a part of it. I want to be a child of God. I want to be saved. and you've decided you want to follow Jesus, then you come. And we will hear you confess Christ as the Son of God, and Brother Pulliam will rejoice along with the rest of us to baptize you into Christ. And we'll sing and pray, and we'll sing, "Oh Happy Day," and we'll rejoice. But you will be the most benefited of all, because you will have become a child of God by being baptized into Christ. If for any reason you need to respond, you're invited to come while we stand and sing the song selected.